Good day and welcome to this podcast discussion powered by PSG Wealth. The question that we are asking for today is whether the Government of National Unity, otherwise known as the GNU, is another Ramaphosa-like moment. Early signs suggest that the country's new Government of National Unity is starting off on a high note. Since the African National Congress started its coalition with the Democratic Alliance, the Inkatha Freedom Party, and the latter added, Good and Patriotic Alliance parties, we've observed that the rand has been maintained its strength and major stocks on the JSE making impressive gains. This wave of optimism is a welcome shift for an economy that has struggled with stagnation, averaging only 1% growth per year over the past decade, alongside mounting corruption and poor service delivery in key cities. But could this early optimism be merely a temporary surge reminiscent of, Ramaphosa, or is it indicative of lasting and meaningful change? My name is Mliwa Gabaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and we are looking to have a great conversation around this particular topic. And joining me for today is Adrian Pask, who is the Chief Investment Officer over at PSG Wealth. Adrian, greetings to you today.
Hi, Mediwa, and also a warm hello to all the guys listening in.
No, definitely. Now, Adrian, you and I have looked at the South African economy from a number of different angles over the past couple of months. And earlier in the year, we highlighted the fact that elections was something that people were going to be looking at. We had the election in May, and since then, there have been a number of developments. We now find ourselves in a situation where there is a GNU in place. Now, is the current optimism about the GNU merely another instance of Ramaphosa, and how do we appreciate the benefits that we've already seen, while recognizing that the more significant advantages may actually take longer to materialize?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think if we look at some of the commentary that's being written and published out there, is people are, I guess, fairly so, quite skeptical of the long-term benefits of GNU. But I think what's happening in the process is that we're overlooking how very differently things could have been if they didn't work out the way that they did. And instead, a coalition government with the MK and EFF was formed. And then we've got to contrast that environment to what we see today to really appreciate the full extent of the benefits that we've actually already, that we're already enjoying. And I think that's largely being overlooked at the moment.
And when someone is actually thinking about, what's going on the ground, Adrian, how could the situation have been different if the president had perhaps chosen a different coalition, such as one with the MK and EFF? I guess what contrasts with our current experience?
Yeah, I think in that type of situation, it goes without saying that you're looking at a far more leftist government, which isn't really market friendly. And I think it's obvious to expect that the rand would have been much, much weaker if we saw that coalition with those other two parties. And that weakness would have been largely due to sell-offs in the market in bonds and equities in particular. And on the back of that currency weakness, you can, of course, expect higher inflation and much higher interest rates from there. And with higher interest rates, you're looking at job losses. You would have seen business and consumer confidence decline. PMIs would have been weaker. We would have seen an erosion of tax base, I'm sure. Less tax revenue. And that ultimately means that higher tax rates to fund the deficits. Also, larger primary and current account deficits is something that I think we would have had to deal with. The noise around NHI, land reform, and prescribed assets, many of the things that have put a damper on markets over the preceding years would have been reinvigorated and enforced, or at least been propelled much quicker And then you can also put a question mark around foreign relations with our key trade partners. And in my view, I think that would have taken a big hit, because some of the guidance that we did receive from institutions like IMF and World Bank and some of our big trading partners have given us guidance to say these are the things that we're looking for. And those things aren't necessarily supported through a government that's so heavily focused to the left and not necessarily on the growth side of things and doing repair to some of the policy and policy reforms as required. So I think that situation could well have been the one that would break the proverbial camel's back. But luckily, we avoided that situation. And the rand has strengthened, albeit only marginally, actually, from what we've seen. I mean, the rand is around 3% stronger since the GNU, but the dollar in itself is 2% weaker. So idiosyncratically, from what we've seen from the South African rand recovery, is actually only 1%. So not much there. So I think there's still some scope to go. But if we're looking for areas where we see a change in sentiment, it's definitely in foreign investment. Keep in mind that for the first 5 months, our SA financials averaged monthly outflows were 10 billion a month. So for the year to date to the end of May, that sector lost around 50 billion rand in outflows. So it gives you an indication of what the market perception was at that point in time, especially from the perspective of a foreign investor. What we've seen following the GNU is actually a 4.5 inflow into SA financials in June, and that was followed up by another 5.8 billion of inflows in July. So a very clear turning in the tide on that front. And the markets tend to be quite early to indicate where there is renewed appetite for investment. So I think that's very positive. We've seen bonds and equities rallied, but I think that's still very early days. I think there's more to come. We can maybe talk a bit about that. But also, I mean, if we had seen a much weaker currency, keep in mind what that would have meant for inflation. We would have had a spike in inflation. We now, inflation has remained stable. And in fact, with a stronger rand, the outlook has actually improved. And now we're actually talking about rate cuts in September. That would have been a complete impossibility if things went the other way. We've also seen the larger institutions adjust their forecasts for our GDP. Things are looking up. They're being revised upwards. The large global banks have published papers on South Africa that are far more positive around the future for the country. Our PMI numbers have improved. Our business and consumer confidence levels have improved. So I think there's a lot to be grateful for if we start to compare, you know, the what could have been versus what we're living through now. It's true to say that GNU's full extent of the benefits are still yet to come, but also keep in mind what we have seen already.
Now, Adrian, with everything that you've just said, obviously you're helping to paint a picture of everything that has happened. But I want to pick on something that you said just now, that the markets are usually good at, maybe signaling where we're going to go, because there was a lot of scenario planning that I'm sure that people such as yourselves would have done before the election even happened. And then subsequent to the election, you then see which one of the scenarios actually ends up being the status quo. So now the question then becomes, right, given the recent positive developments, has the future success of South Africa already been factored into the market? Some people use the term, has it already been priced in on that? Or do you think perhaps people are still wanting to see a little bit more evidence on the ground before they can make some of those determinations?
Yeah, I think definitely market participants have started to adjust. But I think what we've seen thus far is purely a relief rally. So just market participants being relieved that we didn't go into that bad case scenario and there's a big sell-off, and instead we saw an uptick. But that being said, I do think it's first steps. Equity valuations remain incredibly low and depressed. Our bond yields have recovered somewhat. But if you look at the spread between what the US 10-year and the SA 10-year is yielding at the moment, there's still quite a bit of improvement left. And keep in mind that the US 10-year yields are likely to also come down in September. So I think there's quite a bit of scope for asset classes in South Africa to run. As I mentioned, the run in the rand is marginally stronger. And I think there's still plenty of scope on that front as well. And if we look at the foreign flows, they've turned and they're positive, but they're still far away from their previous highs. And I think that has to do with what we've seen in emerging market sentiment globally, which still remains quite weak. So we're still waiting for the bigger push to come through.
All right. And when it comes to, I guess, something like that, one has to then also think about this adjustment that you're talking about, that things are turning. We're starting to see, some of that movement in the market. I like how you call it a relief rally that, we've probably been going through right now. But when it comes to actually moving the market, I guess more, sort of more fundamental shifts or, setting a proper direction for the next couple of years, what are some of the factors that you think need to be in place to actually unlock some of that additional value in the South African economy? One of the things that you've mentioned a couple of times today is to say that this is only a start.
Yeah, I think, we always talk about the catalyst in the market. What's going to be the catalyst? What's going to be the thing that changes the perception and creates the big push that we all would like to see? And it's a very difficult to predict. We never know what the future holds, but there's definitely some signs and things that we think could very easily escalate into that catalyst type moment. No doubt interest rate cuts later this year will factor in there. We're expecting around 75 to 100 basis points lower over the next 12 months. So that could be something that piques the interest of foreign investors as they are more optimistic around the outlook for corporate earnings. The lower rates in the US will probably support US markets a little bit for a while to come. So that's the capital that we're ultimately competing with. We're trying to extract capital out of that market into the emerging market so that we can see asset appreciation here. And that's really the situation that we think is going to transpire. But that being said, even if we think the US rates will come down, I think it's quite a fragile rally that we've seen there, just given the higher valuations that we've discussed quite a bit in earlier podcasts as well. So I think with everything said, I think we're looking for something that's going to create some investor appetite for emerging markets in general. And I think from there, things looking a little bit better in South Africa relative to the prospects for the US as well as the prospects for other emerging markets at this stage, I think we're sitting in a position where we're sort of primed for a catalyst to do something in our markets. And it doesn't always have to be something tremendous that creates a stir and creates some interest. Even if we do see some marginal interest in our markets, which just turns the performance numbers of some of the stocks, that might be sufficient just to start attracting more capital. It's not going to take much to move our market, given the scale of capital out there and the size of our markets, which is far smaller than the amount of capital available.
That certainly makes sense, Adrian. But one of the things I'm just curious about, as maybe just as a quick follow-up to what you've just said, is there is that expectation that interest rates are going to start to come down, down the line. And obviously, this is not just a South Africa issue. There are global factors that have to be considered. There's often a view of, what is the US Fed doing before other markets decide to make their moves. But just from a policy and confidence point of view, there has been some, I'm just going to call it criticism or concern, that perhaps in South Africa, the hold off to start, the decrease of interest rates is taking too long. And, you might run the risk of putting the country into a recession, all of this stuff. I'm not asking about monetary policy, but rather from the view of confidence, keeping that in mind. Would something like that maybe seen as an early misstep or do we sort of forgive because there's so much uncertainty in monetary policy right now?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I mean, it's something that we debate in the team quite often. And it's actually one of those strange things that, you know, you must always distinguish whether the opinion that you have is based on what they should do or what they will do. You know, we've maintained for a long time that, you know, the rate should be lower. In South Africa in particular, they haven't really been in a position to do that because the currency was so weak. So you have appreciation for why that hasn't been the case. But so on the one hand, you say they should be cutting it, but it doesn't mean they will. And the more important thing to keep in mind is what they will do, because what they will do is ultimately what will impact markets. And whether that's right or wrong is almost irrelevant as long as you position your portfolio for the outcome and to benefit from whatever that outcome is. And the reality is that monetary policy committees do make mistakes. Policy error is something that's actually quite common. I mean, we've had a very good example in the US through the previous cycle where inflation was believed to be transitory. And then we saw it actually being a lot stickier than what was generally expected. So already there's policy error. And you can make an argument that given the fragilities that you see in the labor market in the US, that there's already policy error there too, that they've maintained it for too high for too long already. But then again, as I say, the more important question to answer is, but what will they do next? And what do we do with our portfolio? That's really what plays on our mind. So our expectation is rate cuts on both the US side and the South African side in September at their respective meetings.
Yeah, let's see how that, actually pans out at that next meeting. I'm sure everyone, this is not even just from an investor point of view. You have both, people on the business side, on the consumer side, on the investor side, all hoping that we start to see that those decreases starting to manifest. So ending off then, Adrian, what are the potential long-term impacts of the GNU on governance and economic management?
Look, I mean, I think we try to have a balanced look at all the more negative opinions about it as well as the more positive ones. What I think has merit is that we shouldn't be naive. There's no doubt that we'll see some friction in the GNU government. It's a new way of governing. And there's not really a mechanism at this stage for any dispute resolution, which means we think we're going to often land in the situation where there's some arm wrestling going on, which is often slow and not sustainable. So that's something to keep in mind. But that being said, I think the changes that we'll see are far more significant and will have a much more positive impact than the short-term noise around the practicalities of getting things done. We should keep in mind that we've got a much stronger constitutional democracy now, and that the centrist anchor that's essentially been formed through GNU really lessens some of the noise that has deteriorated sentiment and on the country. So I think that's positive for markets, obviously. And in general, we'll see improved scrutiny over policy, and the political commentary that we see come out will be less unilateral, more considered, more debated, better refined, because the decisions that were made involved more parties and it's more inclusive. And it was facilitated through a review forum in Parliament that is constituents are far more balanced in their perceptions of what is good. And I think from there, I think it's realistic to expect fewer mistakes and less corruption. I mean, with more eyes on a problem, you typically end up with a better solution. So I think that's good. And I think where we already see some early evidence of this is through NHI. I mean, NHI was something that was very heavily pushed forward by the ANC-led government. There was so much criticism levied against it from both the private sector as well as industry experts on its sustainability. And yet, given the unilateral setup of the government, things just progressed forward. And there was obviously a lot of political considerations in that as well, where what we see now, we should keep in mind that there's actually only four of the GNU members that actually support NHI in its current form. So it's unlikely that will then enjoy the same momentum than what it would have. In fact, we now see, you know, the renewed reports that actually say if you look at the amount of healthcare spend that we have available, just looking at the existing budget, if it's just allocated properly and we don't see any corruption and they've got a better allocation of resources in that space, we might not even need NHI. So it just goes to show how quickly things change and how much things can improve once you've got a range of eyes with different opinions and different problem-solving approaches to a problem like that. And I think that's very, very positive for the country going forward.
That's where we end off. It has been a really great one, just understanding some of the factors and how the market is thinking about South Africa's government of national unity. A couple of things to take away from everything that Adrian was saying is to say that we find ourselves in a situation where, yes, there is positivity, but, you know, for now, they're calling it a relief rally, sort of the market breathing a sigh of relief to say, okay, fine, we've gotten over that hurdle. There seem to be some positive signs. But he does caution to say that there are other things that do need to be in place for a proper fundamental shift to actually happen and for some of those signals to then come through. Also giving us some insight into some of the different ways in which the market could have gone, depending on who the ANC decided to work with. But at least for now, it does seem like there is some positivity. He did also point out, you know, some of the overhangs that the current GNU has, to say that as much as there is positivity, there are a couple of issues that they still need to iron out, you know, just so that you can cater to all the major stakeholders. Also giving us some insight into the interest rate discussion, monetary policy, where all of that is going, because none of this stuff that we're talking about is happening in a vacuum. All of this, you've got elections going on, but at the same time, you've got a global economy that is trying to stave off inflation and high borrowing costs. And we're expecting that at least come September, Adrian and team are expecting that we might see some of those declines starting to happen. And then over time, let's see how far we can actually go down and when we'll be back to some of those normalized periods, which will be good for businesses, which will be good for consumers as well. So that's been it. Adrian, you are the Chief Investment Officer over at PSG. Well, thank you so much for sharing your knowledge with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been good to chat to you.
So that's it in terms of our discussion on the Government of National Unity. Is it another Ramaphosa-like moment powered by PSG Wealth? I've been your host, Mdio Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. Remember that you can subscribe for free episodes on iono.fm, Spotify, player.fm, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts.